The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
You can't have everybody being the leader of everything. Most organizations, whether it's a business or a church or a ministry, tend to function well when you have a couple of people, you know, one more that are kind of in charge, which is why the church has elders.
In the real world, it often works the same way too. Consider basketball, for example. Michael Jordan, who is universally recognized as the greatest basketball player ever, had Scottie Pippen at his side. Kobe Bryant had Shaquille O'Neal at his side.
For instance, if I say, oh yeah, man, I'd be singing right along with Paul and Silas, but we don't sing when we get a bad doctor's report, or if we don't sing when we get a bill that we can't handle, or we don't sing when somebody treats us wrong at church, or somebody's mean to us, if we don't sing in these lesser pains, then why would we think that, you know, maybe things are going to be different at the worst moment of our lives?
We have to remember that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. However, God will call the most unnoticed person to be his sidekick to do his work for his glory alone. Are you willing to be the sidekick to the person God assigned you to? How do we know that God is calling us to be a sidekick? Let us learn how Silas lived into his role as a sidekick that glorified God and pushed the gospel forward.
Good morning, podcast world. Good morning, listeners. Welcome back. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for giving me a voice to spread his word to all mankind. I want to thank him for using me as a sidekick to humbly follow his command in Matthew 28, verse 19, and that this podcast would bring solid and biblical content to the ears of our listeners. Today, I want to introduce a man that has done some amazing things with the gifts that God has blessed him with. This dude wrote several books, one including A Theology of Joy, Jonathan Edwards, and Eternal Happiness in the Holy Trinity. And he just dropped a brand new book entitled Unknown, The Extraordinary Influence of Ordinary Christians. My next guest is going to be working on another project soon. I'm not sure what it is, but he's got something up his sleeve. I know him. So please welcome to the show my good friend, Matthew Everhart. How's it going, Matt?
What's up, Brandon? Thank you so much for having me back, man. This is my third or fourth episode recording with you on The Ear. I know, actually, maybe it's my fifth. I've been around a while.
Yeah, it is your fifth. You've been around a while.
Was I your first ever guest?
Actually,
we'll have to go back. We'll have to go back and review the archives and the annals of history.
Actually, if you want to talk like legit guests, because I use my roommates as guests for my first episode. But if you want to talk about legit guests, I think you were the first.
Okay. Hopefully your listeners or your roommates aren't listening to this episode because they're legit too. Roommates, if you're out there, you're just as legit.
They don't listen to the podcast. They don't.
Okay, good.
And it's just going to happen. They're going to listen to this one, and I'm going to hear an earful.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody they know is going to listen to it and be like, hey, man, weren't you on that dude's show?
That dude said this.
Exactly. All right.
So today is episode 3 of our teaching series called Unknown, The Extraordinary Influence of Ordinary Christians, written by Matthew Everhart. So this is the third episode, and this one is called Silas, the Sidekick. And Silas is one of those, you know, smaller, lesser known Bible characters that we often don't preach about, talk about, forget about, you know, but he's one of those people that happened to be a sidekick. So last week we talked about Ananias the mentor, and we're going to move forward this week and talk about Silas the sidekick. So without further ado, my first question of the evening is, what is this thing about sidekicks in the Bible, Matt? Why did you call Silas the sidekick?
That's a great question. Well, again, you know, we're looking at the minor characters in the book of Acts, people who helped Paul along the way, although Paul is indisputably the main character, second only to Christ, of course. Christ is the main character in the whole Bible, cover to cover. I want to be clear about that. But in the book of Acts, you know, we're following the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, starting in chapter 9, which we talked about last week. And the theme is these lesser-known characters, thus the name of the book, Unknown. And the big idea is that we don't have to be a famous person to be of extraordinary influence in the kingdom. So in this chapter, I'm looking at Paul's sidekick, particularly Silas, who we probably know a little bit less about than even Barnabas, which was Paul's first sidekick. We'll get into that in a few minutes, I hope. But we do see this little trend happening throughout Scripture that certain of the great men of the faith also had buddies, sidekicks, friends, partners in ministry, however we want to describe it. And so we can all go all the way back to, for instance, Elijah and Elisha. Sometimes we confuse them because their names are so similar, but Elijah had a sidekick named Elisha who came along after him and did some wonderful works of power as well as Elijah did. And then we have David and Jonathan. David's best friend was Jonathan, the son of King Saul. So we might consider Jonathan a sidekick of David. And then even Christ, you know, he had his 12 disciples. They could all be considered sidekicks. But amongst the 12, there were the three, Peter, James, and John. And amongst the three, there was the one, which was Peter, who seems to be in more scenes than some of the other disciples. And so Paul is like these other great men of the faith in having, we might call a junior partner along to help him. And Paul had both Barnabas and the first case, and then in our chapter we're looking at Silas, his second sidekick.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I kind of like the name Silas, and if I had twin boys they would be called Elijah and Elisha. Throw that out there, and trust me,
yeah, I like that.
I only want one child if I ever have a child, and if it's a boy I'm going to name him after me. But if God blesses me with twins, I'm definitely going to name them Elijah and Elisha. I love those two names.
All right. Got it.
So, all right, Matt, what would be your sidekick name?
If I was a sidekick? Well, I think I am a sidekick. I'm your sidekick. I came up with your name. Your name is Brandon Queen, the podcast king. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. I think that,
you know,
that rolls off the tongue.
Brandon Queen, the podcast king.
Isn't that hilarious? I love that. You got to make that your new moniker from now on. That's hilarious.
Brandon,
I guess my sidekick name would be like the bearded one or something like, you know, it'd be like Brandon Queen, the podcast king, and his sidekick, the bearded one.
Where his beard holds all the knowledge.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm the sidekick of my beard instead of the other way around. I don't know. Either way,
That would be funny. That would be funny. All right. So now that we got that out the way, let's actually get some real stuff done here. Mm-hmm. Now, all right, Matt, for this chapter, we talk about Silas, you know, use him as your reference. And we're taking a look at Acts chapter 16 and 15. Why did the Apostle Paul and the other apostles need sidekicks?
Well, you know, I guess in one sense we don't, because each one of us can follow Christ and be saved and be a Christian. However, we definitely need each other in this journey of life. And I am not a big fan of these solo Christian concepts that you could be a healthy Christian out there just doing it by yourself. Which is one reason let me just make a side road here to say, hey, if you're not going to church, you need to be in church, man, because you're not strong enough to do this by yourself. So we do need others. We need friendship. We need fellowship. We need encouragement. We need comforters. And even if we're the kind of alpha male type personality that tends to like to be out there kind of in the lead, you're not sufficient in and of yourself. You don't have all the gifts. You don't have all the graces. You don't have all the fruits. You know, you need others. And so I think even a guy like Paul, who's just extraordinarily blessed, he needs friendships, needs support, needs somebody by his side. And so this is why we don't see people going out usually one by one in the New Testament. We see them going out two by two or in greater numbers because we need each other.
And I think it was designed that way. I think God designed it to where we would rely on him, but be each other's sidekick, if you will, or support system.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's funny you say that, you know, we need each other and we should go to church and stuff. That brings me back to season 2, episode 1 with Cameron Schaefer and his dialogue on why we need to go to church and why the church is important. And I think reading this passage in Acts, and it talks about Silas, you know, being there with Paul, brings all of that to light. You know, Paul would have been a miserable soul. And I think all the apostles would have been miserable people had they did this all on their own. Like once Christ left and they had to go to each, you know, surrounding area by themselves, I think they would have been miserable. I think they would have gave up a long time ago.
Yeah, true, true.
Now, to get a little deep here. So how do you know that God is calling us to be sidekicks?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if we think about this logically, it makes sense that some of us should be sidekicks because you can't have everybody being the leader of everything. Most organizations, whether it's a business or a church or a ministry, tend to function well when you have a couple of people, you know, one more that are kind of in charge, which is why the church has elders. Each did our own thing, and every single person wanted to be the boss, we would run into conflict all the time if we don't already. And so it does seem to make sense that this suits our personalities and our giftedness, that not everybody should have a microphone in front of their face leading some kind of a vision quest. But there are other people that come along and support, and they have supporting gifts. So one of the things I'd say is if, you know, God may be calling you to be a sidekick if you have sidekick-type gifts. We all have gifts to serve the Lord, but not everybody's a dynamic, vision-casting, vocal, visible leader. Some people tend to like to be in the shadows and do their better work when they're off on the sidelines, helping others out, often in very invisible, invisible but yet significant ways.
Yeah, that's me. I like to be in the shadows, and lately I've been pushed to the spotlight on some things, which is kind of uncomfortable for me. Honestly, to be honest with you, being a podcast host is really uncomfortable, but I have a job to do, and I have a message that needs to get out to those who don't know Christ. So I will chalk
it
up and do it when it comes to that. But this question brings me to one of my church members. Her name is Monica Lundgren, and a beautiful, beautiful spirited woman. She runs the Operation Christmas Child event at our church every single year. And one of the things that I did, I get a chance to help with the liturgy in my church whenever I'm off from work. And it just so happened I was off, and I had just talked to you about the book and about getting a series going and everything. And I got in the pulpit and I said, you know, the Bible has a lot of unknown or lesser known characters, most like our congregation. And I want to point out, you know, this year for Operation Christmas Child, I think we packaged over 540 something boxes to send.
Wow,
to send overseas to, you know, and our little church pumps out so many boxes. It's unreal. But Miss Monica leads this operation every single year. And although she doesn't like the spotlight and doesn't like the attention, I called her out because I thought it was important that people know that this lady who has been coming to our church for quite some time, picked up this project as her own, doesn't look for anything in return, is by far one of our greatest sidekicks as a congregation.
You know? That's awesome. So many lesser recognized people in the local church that really make the whole thing go, you know, whether it's from scraping the snow off the sidewalk to making the communion bread to photocopying the bulletins to replacing the light bulbs in the sanctuary. You know, it takes a whole crew of people, but not everybody can be in charge, and that's okay. That's a good thing.
Right. But what's snow?
Oh yeah. Well, I would know now.
Yeah. You're living up in a northern area. You done left the South.
That's right, man. That's right.
I think the only thing I'll be shoveling is water away from my back door. But all right, now let's get to the meat and potatoes. So from what we read in this chapter and in the book of Acts, what differences were there between Silas and Barnabas?
Okay, so that's a great question. And I referenced this a little bit earlier that Paul had a number of sidekicks. Two of them that are pretty important are Silas, who's the main character in my chapter in the book Unknown, and then Barnabas, who was Paul's previous sidekick. Now, Paul and Barnabas had a great start. It goes back to Acts chapter 13, the city of Antioch, the church of Antioch, where God calls and sets apart a number of gifted people to do the work of Christian missions. And Paul sets off with Barnabas, and there's another guy called John Mark. And we know him because he's the author of the book of Mark, most likely. From all the ancient sources, we believe Mark is same Mark in Acts is the one who wrote John the book of Mark. Now, what happens, unfortunately, is that John Mark, for whatever reason, and it's a little bit of a mystery why, but Mark bails off the team in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. It says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem." So this guy, Mark, his other name is John Mark, he quits the team. And this is going to be a problem for Paul. Paul is not pleased about this. And later on in Acts chapter 15, him and Barnabas, they're going to slug it out, not physically, but they're going to have a big argument about this. The Bible calls it a sharp disagreement. So we can assume that there's real raw feelings involved here. And Barnabas is inclined to take John Mark back, forgive him, and to put him on the team again, whereas Paul takes the hard line on this and really does not want to take Mark along with him anymore. Paul realizes that the mission can be very dangerous, that there's resistance and hostility, and we get the sense that Paul feels that Mark would be an anchor, kind of dragging the mission team down. So what happens in the story is that Paul and Barnabas split ways, and Paul takes Silas, and Barnabas takes John Mark, and now the one mission team is split into two, which is good because now we have two teams going out to do missions, but it's a little bit unfortunate that Paul and Barnabas apparently couldn't mend their ways. One factor here that's a little bit of an X factor is that the book of Colossians tells us that Barnabas and John Mark are, get this, they're cousins. And so that would explain why Barnabas would be inclined to forgive him. This is a family situation for Barnabas. But Paul sees it more as like a business thing here, like, hey, man, you failed us once. I don't have time to mess around again, man. This is serious stuff. So both Barnabas and Paul are kind of right. Barnabas is right in the sense that we ought to forgive each other and give each other second chances. But Paul's right in the sense that the mission is too important sometimes to be weighed down by personal distraction. So they both have a real point. Now, Silas comes into the deal in the same chapter, chapter 15, because he becomes Paul's new mission partner. And I take it that Silas is kind of a tough, rough, able, competent, fearless man, the kind of person that would be perfect to be Paul's partner, because we get the sense that Paul's not going to waste time with people that may you know, get flimsy kneed and peel off. So Silas is that perfect number two to Paul's number one, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a real asset to Paul as they go on their missions later on.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm thinking about it like this. So Paul, I'm going to say Paul probably forgave John Mark and probably forgave Barnabas, but just thought it wouldn't be a good idea to stick around, you know, with the two in the mission field.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just jump on that real quick, Brandon, if you don't mind, because we know Paul forgave Mark because later on in 2 Timothy, which is Paul's last letter, he specifically asks that Mark would be able to come see him again. And the idea there is Paul knows he's probably going to die in prison or be executed, but he wants to see Mark, and he calls him like a faithful son, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so the damage was not beyond repair, but it was a problem as far as their mission team lineup was set. So that's kind of the idea.
You know, it's funny. I'm kind of hard line like that too, where you in it or you're not. And I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's funny because my sisters, they hound me for it. You know, why you don't have a girlfriend? And, you know, tell them why. Oh, you're too hard. You know, you're too hardline. You need to change your ways. You need to not do that. Don't be like that. And it's like, no, I don't have time for stupidity. You're either in it or you're not. You either believe in God or you don't. Like, I don't have time for somebody that could potentially drag me back down to the 90s when I was a child, if you will, and growing up in the faith. Like, I'm surpassed that. And I want to remain, you know, surpassed that. I want to grow more. And if I'm going to bring somebody in my life to share that with me, which is what Paul did, you want to be able to have that person be there so you can grow together. And I think that's the idea that Paul
had. So you might have sided with like Paul and Silas then. You might have been on their team, you know, whereas somebody who's maybe more tender, maybe more kid gloves, you know, they might side with the Barnabas and John Mark side then in that case.
Yeah, I mean, I would still love them from who they are, but I don't think I could have them on my team, you know.
Sure.
I'm a straightforward guy, and I think, you know, we know Paul is. Paul don't hold no punches back.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now, what are some similarities between Silas and Barnabas, and how would John Mark compare to both of them?
Great question. I love this question, because even while Silas and Barnabas, you know, maybe there could have been a little bit of rivalry there, like, I was Paul's partner first, Noah, you know, I'm his partner now. I don't get that sense that they held it against each other. Here we have two men, Barnabas and Silas, that both love Jesus. They're both fearless missionaries, and they're both willing to go. You know, they're both willing to go on mission. So at the end of the day, they hold far more in common than they ever had in difference. If there was any difference between Barnabas and Silas, it was in that Silas made for a better partner to Paul than Barnabas did at the end of the day. Barnabas's name means son of encouragement. And everything we know about Barnabas is that he was a very loving, gentle, kind, gracious man that perfectly befits his name, son of encouragement. And Silas, probably just by personality, needed to be a little bit tougher to hang with Paul. You know, Paul is just bent on getting the gospel to every city. He's willing to get stoned. He's willing to get shipwrecked. He's willing to get punched. He's willing to get snake bitten. He's willing to be persecuted and lied about. And it takes a pretty strong character to be able to hang with Paul. And it just looks like that Silas just has the right personality to stand next to him and to be with him when the chips are down.
Yeah, I agree. So, Matt, this idea of being a sidekick is probably not our first pick. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
However, are you content with being someone's sidekick, or do you need to be the central position at all times? Now, this is a personal question for you, but I also want my listeners to think about this as well. You know, can you be a sidekick and be content with that, or do you have to be center of attention?
Great question. I think it depends on the context. Now, some of your listeners might relate to my personality. I tend to like to be in leadership. I find that leadership is where the action is. I'm kind of the person that likes to be involved. I tend to have an opinion on things, for better or for worse. I tend to like things to be done in, quote, the right way, unquote, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm cut out of the cloth of leadership. However, you know, there are certain people that I see that are so much more gifted than myself that when I'm around them, I am perfectly content to be their sidekick and just be, you know, riding on their coattails. I remember one time I was on the mission field in Mexico working with a missionary named Todd, and his whole mission was building water wells for people where there was no water in the Yucatan Peninsula, just no rivers or streams or lakes. And he would build these wells. And he just knew the people. He knew the language. He knew the customs. He knew how to build the wells. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so when I was with him, you know, I was perfectly content to just lift concrete bags and stones into the machine and make concrete all day and let him be in charge. Or when I'm with guys, you know, there are theologians, writers, professors that are just so much smarter than me. I'd rather hide in their shadows and let them hash out some of the big arguments that I can't, you know, I can't hang with.
That's kind of what I do.
But in the local church, you know, I love what I do. I love to be a pastor and to preach and teach. So I kind of like a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think I do like to be in the shadows at times. And like I said, lately, I've been pushed to the spotlight. And it's not because I'm seeking it. It's just I've had somebody tell me you're a leader and it needs to be shown. And I'm like, eh, whatever. You know, like with in the last episode, I talked about Boy Scouts and how I was part of that key three. I was part of a team of three people that ran this camp. But what I didn't mention is I did a lot of the legwork behind the scenes to make sure that those two guys look good and that the camp looked good. And it backfired, if you will, because I ended up being the center of attention and it was something I wasn't even looking for, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with scouts or with people that look up to older scouts, Eagle Scouts, you know, you kind of get that. My nickname at camp is Nightcrawler. Oh, I want to be like Nightcrawler. He's cool. You know, mm-hmm. I want to work on staff with Nightcrawler and this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, cool, whatever. It's fun, but I am I'm a mixture of an introvert and an extrovert. It may not seem like it, but I am. I can get my time where I need to be around people and be in the mix of doing things. And then there are probably more times than ever I need to be alone away from people. Like, don't talk to me. Don't call me. You know, I'm that kind of guy. But when it comes to being in the center at all times, I am completely fine with just riding the coattails. Like, for example, you had the Westminster Society going at the with the EPC for the longest time before you recently turned the reins over. I walked up to you and my comment to you was, this is too good of content to have such a crappy design.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it like that.
No, it's awesome, man. I appreciate it. And I was thinking as you're talking that there's maybe there's a rule here, Brandon. Let me just throw something against the wall and see if it sticks.
All right.
I think it's probably okay for people to be sidekicks all the time because they have a personality that is just good in the gaps. You know, they're the kind of person that almost like stagehands in a play where they wear the dark shirts and they don't get seen. But I would be more concerned with a person who has to be the leader all the time.
Right.
And I've known some people like that. And, you know, you risk narcissism and egocentrism if you have to be the boss in everything. And, you know, some of us have people like that in our lives and they're kind of annoying, aren't they? It's like, certainly somebody has some gifts that excel yours, right? I mean, if you can't admit that, that's a bit of a problem. So we should all be able to be a sidekick at some point, I would think.
Yes, one of my sergeants just came to, or old sergeants just came to mind, and it's like, dude, like, chill out, okay? He would kick back my, and I'm not saying I'm the best writer. I struggle with grammar just like everybody else, but I'm good at it. So he'll kick back one of my reports and tell me that I didn't need a comma in a certain spot, and I'm sitting there like, dude, with all due respect, I wasn't good in math, but I was really good in English, and I think I know what I'm talking about. You know,
yeah.
And it's like when we go to court, we have to sit in front of the DA, and she's looking over the case, and you know, she's a grammar Nazi. She's like, well, where's that comma that's supposed to be there, huh? You know better than that, Brandon. And I'm just thinking about that because I know her and I know how she is, and everything has to be done right when she takes her cases to court. But that's beside the point. Now, you know, my role with the Westminster Society is I handle all the graphics and, you know, put the book together. So I don't get much credit. I don't look for it. I'm not the one speaking at the General Assemblies, you know, holding seminars and whatnot. I'm usually the nerd in the back of the corner recording it, you know, publishing it, making us, you know, visible on social media, and that's it. And I'm okay with that. Yeah. Completely content with that. However, if I'm ever given opportunity to preach, as shy as I am at times, I do jump on that opportunity because, again, podcasting can be uncomfortable at times for me, but I have a message that needs to get to the ears of our listeners.
That's right.
So, in other words, I may be the host of this podcast, but I'm just a sidekick because I'm having to search for guests and I'm having to answer God's call. So I'm doing the work God wants me to do. I'm his sidekick, and that's all that matters, you know? So, but why do you think people need to be the center of attention at all times?
Well, I mean, let's be really honest. Some people have some really awesome gifts. You know, there are certain people that they have an intellect or a leadership characteristic about them that's just so wonderful, maybe even great with a lowercase g. You know, only God is great, right?
Right.
But some people have some truly gifted personalities and abilities. And certainly those people, they should be the alpha. Nothing wrong with that. But there is there's a heart issue there too. And I'm afraid that sometimes great giftedness comes with it the Achilles heel of great pride. And if you can ever find a person who's both great and humble, man, you know, grab onto that person and don't let go. Because if they're both great and humble, and this person is going to do amazing things in the world. A lot of people that have some kind of greatness, you know, they struggle with arrogance and pride and self-centeredness, and that could be a real thorn in the flesh.
Right. Now, I'm going to throw a name out there. You said great and humble at the same time, and no, it's not you. But I'm thinking of JT.
Doesn't qualify for either.
right. But I'm thinking of JT Holderman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that his meekness, you know, he...
Yeah.
To my listeners, now I'm going to give him a plug real quick because this guy is amazing. He's also he's also somewhat of a writer, but lately he's been using his hands to build things. Now, Matt, as you and I are talking, I am using one of the clipboards that he built using pieces of wood for writing notes and stuff. And
cool, man. That's awesome.
Like, I ordered a cutting board from him that I don't use. It's like consecrated in a cupboard. Like, don't touch it. It's set apart. And I ordered like 16 coasters from him, but the quality of his work is amazing. So he's good at building things. All right. He reminds me of Christ, the carpenter, but he's great at displaying and presenting the gospel in such a way that all can understand it. You know,
that's awesome.
And I love that about JT. And look, there's many people like that. Matt, look, sometimes you're like that too. I'm going to be honest. I'm not tooting your horn or anything, but you can
there's a bunch of guys. You know, yeah. Mike Galotto is amazing and humble. And so
Zach Hopkins.
We have
Scott
a lot of
Red,
mutual friends. Scott Red. Yep.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. My pastor, Bill Crawford, although he's been giving me flack lately because he hasn't been on my podcast yet. But anyway.
Oh, man. Come on. Let's go.
It'll happen in due time.
Yep.
All right. So my next question is, what does it say about the spiritual condition of Paul and Silas? Now, before I read that question, I want to give you a scene real quick. So if you're listening and you're driving, keep your eyes open. But if you're listening and you're sitting still, close your eyes and think about this. Think about two men that have entered a city to preach the gospel. They're captured. Mm-hmm. They're beaten, and you can basically see the bones popping out of their back. But they find the joy in singing and praising God in the midst of being beat.
Right.
So that leads me to this question. What does it say about the spiritual condition of Paul and Silas that they were able to sing God's praises from prison at midnight when you and I can probably struggle with praising God even in the freedom of the daylight?
Yeah. Boy, the scene that Brandon's referring to, you can read it in the middle of Acts chapter 16. It says in verse 24 that they received this order. He put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks after they'd been beaten with these blows and whatnot. So even the stocks, Brandon, you know, this ancient contraption where they would basically fasten your feet in a wooden board and you'd be unable to move, which would be so painful having just been flogged and beaten, you know, with rods and whatnot. But then here's this poignant scene in 16:25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. There's this awesome scene where, you know, in the lowest part of the night, midnight, it's dark. By the way, you can Google pictures of the Philippian jail, and not what it was. Obviously, it's been 2,000 years. But the inner cell there is, it would have been so dark and dank and hopeless. Not a ray of light would have been able to get into this inner prison. And what a low point. You know, they don't even know if they're ever going to be released. Their bodies are hurting, and yet here they are singing and praying to God at midnight. And it says the other prisoners were listening to them. What an amazing witness. And then, of course, we know how the story goes. There's an earthquake and a miracle, and they're freed, and the Philippian jailer gets saved. What an awesome story, and certainly shows us their heart for God and their love for Christ. Great, great scene.
Right. Now, I want to bring that to 2019 to 2020. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to use, for my listeners, I want to use Matt and I as the subjects for this scenario. Let's say Matt and I we're at two different locations. Matt is up in Pennsylvania and I'm here in Louisiana. And, you know, God's given us a clear mission, a clear statement on what the church and what its members should do. And we can find that in Matthew 28:19. Okay, that is the capital of getting the gospel out. And Matt decides he wants to set up, this is all done by careful prayer. He wants to set up a revival that will sweep the north part of the country down to the southern parts of the country. Now, obviously, Matt can't mm-hmm. do it by himself, so he'll have people helping him. And he, let's say he appoints me the sidekick, the king of podcasting, if you will, to handle and set up the southern part of the country as a revival. But then we come to a meeting point where, let's just say the United States government doesn't want this and we are captured and thrown into a jail. And, you know, put yourself in this scenario. Could you sing praises to God? Could you be like Andrew Brunson and sing despite of the condition you're in? You know?
Yeah, great question. Great question. Love it. You know, I guess one way we could answer that is to say, well, do we, in even lesser difficulties? For instance, if I say, oh, yeah, man, I'd be singing right along with Paul and Silas, but we don't sing when we get a bad doctor's report, mm-hmm. or if we don't sing when we get a bill that we can't handle, or we don't sing when somebody treats us wrong at church, or somebody's mean to us, if we don't sing in these lesser pains, then why would we think that, you know, maybe things are going to be different
right.
at the worst moment of our lives?
Right.
But hopefully, you know, I mean, God is gracious, you know, and who knows what God would do. Maybe sometimes God is extraordinarily gracious, even in the moments where we're at our lowest. So,
I mean, yeah.
Boy, it really makes you think about it, though, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, and look, and let's be honest, to my defense, I cannot carry a tune. I was singing in church and I had my nieces with me and they both looked at me and said, Uncle Brandon, stick to your day job. So I don't think I'd be singing along, you know, but it's this idea of, you know, being faithful and being diligent. You know, God's given us a clear descriptive task on what the church should do. The question is, can we be diligent enough? Can we be like Paul and Silas? Can we be like Barnabas and John Mark and push the gospel forward? Now, we know John Mark had some issues. And he didn't, if I'm reading correctly, he didn't even stay with Barnabas when they went separately. Okay. But it goes to show you that no matter what situation you're going through, God's word will go forward with or without you. So that's all I have for this episode. Matt, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I'm just thankful for all the sidekicks who are out there. You know, if you're listening today and you've been saying to yourself, yeah, that's me. I'm the sideline person. I'm the one I'd rather prepare the potluck than say the prayer before it. You know, I'd rather fold the bulletin than preach the sermon. God bless you and thank you for your work. You know, shout out to Gospel Fellowship PCA, my church where I'm pastoring right now. So many people that do that stuff, and to Brandon's church, and all the listeners out there who are serving very quietly. Don't get discouraged if nobody ever gives you a trophy. Just keep doing what you're doing, and it's worth it for our King and our Master, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Now, that again, that's all I have. So for my listeners, if you want to know more about Matt, if you want to find him and make him known, just joking. If you want to find out more about Matt, you can find him on social media. He's all over the website. Just look for the guy with the beard.
That's right.
But you can find him on Facebook at facebook.com/pastor.everhart. You can find him on Twitter, where he's probably most active, at Matt_Everhart. Now, mm-hmm. For my favorite, go to YouTube, and I don't know your YouTube name, so I'm just going to have them search for Matthew Everhart.
That's the best way to find it.
What I'm going to say is Matt has some stuff alone from this podcast. You know, he's been on the show 5 times and talking about different things. He is a wealth of knowledge. If you are new to the Reformed faith and you want to learn more and how to understand it more, you can go and search Matthew Everhart, and he has a number of teaching series on the Westminster Confession of Faith, infant baptism, and along with other things. He does book reviews, Bible reviews, all kinds of things. The guy is just brilliant. So search him on social media. If you want to find me, whatever. You don't have to find me. So I'm going to urge my listeners to ask us questions. You know, you've been listening. This is the third episode. If you've tuned into all 3 episodes, again, at the end of this season, we're going to have a listening ear segment. I want you guys to ask questions about the episodes, about the Bible characters, and I want you to leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/elderqueen/message, or share the episode with your friends and family on your social media and help us get this podcast to those who are interested in learning about solid and biblical ways of doing ministry. With that being said, you also have a chance to win a free copy of the book Unknown. And I'm going to be stalking your Facebook pages once you share the episodes. And I will do a random number generator and you will be entered to win a chance. So please share this content and enter a chance to win a copy of this free book. It's a great book. It's only 100 pages and it's solid content. Well, Matt, that's
thank
all
you
I have.
So much, man. 100 pages, $9. Better than 9 pages for $100. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, $9. Oh, yeah. Forgot about the price. Yeah, it's $9. But
oh, yeah, but your winner is going to get it for free.
But so. The winners will get it for free. All right, Matt. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Check you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Greetings. This is Steve Selyards, the author of The GA Junkie, and here are some Presbyterian history notes for the week of December 29th. Sunday, December 29th. David Rice was born on this day in 1733. He was nicknamed the Apostle to Kentucky, but he began his ministry working among the slaves in Virginia. He then had a long ministry in Kentucky. He was active with abolition societies and worked to try and keep slavery out of Kentucky. He was unsuccessful in getting a slavery prohibition section in Kentucky's first 2 state constitutions. Monday, December 30th. On this day in 1842, James A. Manal was born. He served as a synodical missionary in New Mexico and was the first pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Albuquerque, beginning in 1881. In 1896, he worked with the General Assembly to reorganize a Presbyterian boarding school and served as its principal for 1 year before his death. That institution is now the Manal School, named in his honor. Tuesday, December 31st. Today is the 150th anniversary of the death of Justin Perkins. For 35 years, he served as a missionary to the region of the Nestorian Christians in Persia, in what is now Iran. He was the first U.S. citizen to take up residence in Persia. He was a scholar of the Syriac language and translated most of the Bible and worship material into that language. Wednesday, January 1st. Luther Halsey was born on this day in 1794. He began studying medicine but switched to theology. He initially served as a pastor in New York before his long career in academics. He was a professor of theology and Christian history at Western Theological Seminary in Allegheny, as well as at Auburn Theological Seminary and Union Theological Seminary in New York. Thursday, January 2nd. On this day in 1542, Calvin's ecclesiastical ordinances were approved by the Council General, a general assembly of the citizens of the Republic of Geneva. The document, based on an initial draft written by John Calvin, was slightly modified by a team of six pastors and six civil leaders. The ordinances set the basis for church government in the city of Geneva, and the principles found in the ecclesiastical ordinances, such as the shared leadership of pastors and elders, set the pattern for a Presbyterian and Reformed church government that continues today. Friday, January 3rd. The Battle of Princeton was fought on this day in 1777. The battle included the colonial forces attacking and retaking Nassau Hall at the College of New Jersey, which the British forces had held for about 3 months. The damage from the cannonballs can still be seen on Nassau Hall. Saturday, January 4th. Charles Clinton Beatty was born on this day in 1800. While he was originally approved to serve as a missionary in the Pacific Northwest, a change in circumstances led him to be ordained to an itinerant ministry in the Wabash Valley in what is now Indiana. After a few years working there, the Synod of Pittsburgh prevailed upon him to accept the call as the pastor in Steubenville, Ohio. There he and his second wife, Hetty, established the female seminary, with Charles as the superintendent and Hetty as the principal. Several of their students became missionaries, including Amanda McFarland, the first woman to serve as a missionary to Alaska. He was also a longtime director at Western Theological Seminary, as well as a trustee at Washington College, and very influential in facilitating the merger to form Washington and Jefferson College. He served as the moderator of the 1862 PCUSA General Assembly. Thanks for joining me here on the EAR podcast, and I look forward to joining you again next week.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's Word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.